Ladies and gentlemen, it is officially here. The Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask. It's our new bonus item when you sign up, renew, or upgrade to a yearly EPP membership at ghostpodcast.com.
What does EPP stand for? Extra Podcast Person.
Hurry, supplies are limited of the Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask. A flask with our logo engraved right on it and autographed by us. When you sign up for a yearly EPP membership, you'll not only get a spirit flask, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP bonus episodes, advanced access to regular episodes of the show weeks before they go public, exclusive video content, a fast pass to get your stories to us before everybody else, and so much more.
Plus, you get a month free, too. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Sign up for the yearly EPP membership, get all of that, help keep us on the air, and enjoy your spirit flask. Claim yours now at ghostpodcast.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, strange activity in a basement leads teens to believe their home may be haunted. Negative energy among roommates seems to attract negative entities to a home. Also, heavy footsteps, blankets being ripped off the bed are just a few of the frightening events that happen to a stressed out couple late at night.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Want to support the show? Keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person on our website, ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month gets you access to all the advanced episodes. Gets you access to all of the EPP bonus episodes. And if you sign up for the yearly membership, you can get that spirit flask sent over to you. So some nice little extras right there over at ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Sean joining you once again. And how are you this fine day?
Oh, my mind has been blown, Tony. Yours?
Why has it been blown?
I just found out that more than three... Are you sitting?
I'm sitting.
More than three... You... For sure sitting.
I'm sitting. I'm positive.
More than 300 million of these have been sold since being invented.
Is this like a trivia question of some sort?
Well, I just found this out, so I'll tell you. You don't need to guess making it a question, but you can guess if you'd like.
I'm good. Go ahead.
Alex, what are slinkies?
Okay.
You're absolutely correct.
Is this like the fun radio fact of the day on like the bad show prep sheet that they give every DJ in America? Or it's like, hey, go say this on the air. It'll be great fun. Everyone will be so thrilled.
Sure is. There are 262 other radio stations throughout the country that all have password. But hey, be original and just, just read this verbatim. We'll even give you a suggested punchline of the joke. It actually happens. There are companies.
Yeah.
Including the one that employs me and maybe possibly employed you in the past, that will basically, the way that it works is this. You listen to commercial radio, not like what you're listening to right now, but the commercials. Okay. Mm-hmm. A certain number of those, they're called barter trade, where we will give a company X amount of minutes throughout the day to play commercials of whatever they want to play. And then in turn, they will supply it with a daily email full of information.
Useless shit.
Useless, random information.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why radio sucks. But there you go. I mean, I think the biggest thing with that was, with what DJs for the most part make, the amount of work that was asked of, like, okay, now go do all these things and then go talk about it. It's like, I don't have really money to buy gasoline or ramen, really. So I don't really know how I'm going to go live a life like our listeners, because I can't afford to do anything like that. So then they just get this stuff and then you try and relate and it just comes across as cheesy. And that's, again, why we have bad radio. But hey, alas, the world of podcasts. And I love that.
radio continue to suck. Thus, you can hear us whenever you want.
Exactly, and it's on our turf now. It's our pirate ship, so we don't have to kind of follow the email of the day rules anymore. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm going to try and get through some stories here without choking too much. First one says, hey guys, love your show. Thank you guys for giving me so many souls a place to tell their stories. Here is mine. In May of 2016, my boyfriend and I moved into a red brick house that was built in what we guess was around 1930. When we first moved in, there was no strange activity. Our house has two basements and my bedroom has two doors, one leading to the bathroom and the other to the living room. Within a few months, we had strange occurrences, mostly at night. We'd wake up to both doors in our bedroom opening and closing repetitively, hearing strange noises. It sounded like someone was breaking in, and saw things move without us touching them. Last Christmas, I was wrapping presents when my boyfriend says, "Did you see that?" He then proceeded to tell me that scrap of wrapping paper looked like it was picked up and dropped by no one. A few months later, we had some friends over, and they thought it would be a good idea to go into our basement and speak to any spirits that may be down there. After a while, they came upstairs shouting and saying my friend Fred couldn't move. My boyfriend went downstairs to see what was going on, and Fred started walking to his car, walking right past my boyfriend, and if he didn't even see him. So my boyfriend followed him to his car. The second he sat in the car, Fred put his head in my boyfriend's lap and started crying hysterically. He sat up and told him, "You need to leave RJ. She's going to hurt you both." Before we moved here, my boyfriend and I researched the house, and it's said to be haunted. There are many stories that people have posted. There's an older man here that watches you sleep, children that mess with electronics and objects, and a witch who resides in the basement. Fred never knew any of these things yet, and he was terrified that night with tears running down his face. I have many more stories to share with you all. Hope to hear my story on the air. Thank you for what you do and creating such an amazing place for us all. Much love, Brittany from Utah. That would be disturbing if you have something happen at a house and you are able to look it up and you find something, because so frequently people do that. They get just kind of get bits and pieces of like, well, the neighborhood might have been on a burial ground or something. But to find all those details of the building you were in, that's a bit much.
Multiple.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd want that or not.
You don't expect to see a Wikipedia when you put your address in.
No.
Who's RJ? I'd be interesting to know if there was specific information. Not only it was haunted, but there were bios or paragraphs about what specific incident happened.
Yeah.
That's, wow. That right there is, they own or they rent that place?
I have no idea, but they certainly found out a lot of information. I'd almost have to, if I were to guess, I'd say rent, if there's that many people kind of coming and going and all sharing their own stories out of it.
Yesterday.
Hmm?
Or try to. I would try to break the, we're going to move. We're going to move.
At that point, I think that's your best bet. 855-853-4802 is our number. Next letter says, hey guys, I'm writing this in. On my way to work on a bus, found your podcast last week and been listening nonstop. Since I'm scared shitless by things like this, I do not listen when it's dark out. Talking about fearing the dark, I do have a story about that because I'm still scared of the dark and I'm 30 years old. Even as a child, I feared the dark, and even now, I sleep with a nightlight. As a kid, I had the usual fears, crocodiles under the bed or a monster that would grab your foot if you hung them out over your covers. At 19, I lived in a place that just had bad energy around it. The housemates I lived with were negative about me, and all they could do was criticize me. Around that time, I tried from time to time to sleep with my nightlight off. But one night, this went wrong. I turned off my light and turned to my back to my room, trying to fall asleep, but not even a minute passed by which I felt fear creeping over me. And in my gut, I just knew I should not turn around. I could feel two very strong entities standing next to my bed. I almost shat my pants. I managed to turn my light back on and only then turn around to face my room. Never do I fall asleep with my face facing the wall. At all times, I must face my room. That's how I fall asleep. That's how I wake up. I've had more experiences, which I'd love to tell, but this was the only short story that was very scary to me, and I can say that I've never felt so scared in my life as I did that night. I do think that these entities were attracted, so to say, to the negativity in the house. At that time, I was very open to the paranormal, so I was probably an easy target. I still am open to the paranormal, but I keep it out as much as I can. Love your show. Really wish I could be an EPP, but I'm not sure if I can since I live in the Netherlands and I do not have a credit card. Have an awesome day, and thank you for reading this story. Mickey, your thoughts?
I mean, when she can't fall asleep facing the wall, I don't know if it's similar, but just for me growing up, I couldn't find myself falling asleep without the door to my bedroom closed.
Okay.
I have zero knowledge if that is similar or... I mean, everybody has their routine when they fall asleep.
Sure.
So I'm a bit dumbfounded on that one.
When you have your routines, you have your routines, and sometimes they certainly affect you more than they should, but that's just kind of how we are. I always had it where I had to have the door cracked a little bit. Now I have it where I have to have the TV on for a little bit. And I'm trying my darndest to get used to using that CPAP machine thing for snoring. And that's just not an easy task. I want to thank, we have a listener who actually sent me a really lengthy letter yesterday with a gazillion alternatives. And I was like, this is really thoughtful. Thank you very much about it. But that takes a little. Have you ever tried one of those things?
So that would mean that I snore.
Yeah, I'm implying maybe you snore.
Not a snorer.
Not a snorer?
Not a snorer.
Are you sure? No one has ever informed you of this?
My dog has not texted me as of late that I have begun. But in my knowledge, there are two situations where I have snored, the past tense of snoring.
Yeah.
Two parts. When I am exhausted, where you just, you know, you go a few nights, few days.
Sure.
Where you're beyond tired. And or...
drinking?
Passing out, intoxicated.
Yeah. Sure.
So, but as far as relationships and, you know, consistently falling asleep to, unless she's just really nice, no. So to answer your question, have not tried the CPAP machine. And what I was going to ask is your wife must very much love you.
Because I'm using the machine?
Not only are because you're using the machine, but the TV as well. That's double right there. If you are one that falls asleep.
Oh, she needs that too. That's an us thing there.
That is a situation. Where do you bring that up? Do you bring that up on the first date? Because again, we're talking about routines and falling asleep and short of eating. There's not many more important things than sleep.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it was on our first date. I said, so when we start sleeping together, is it okay if we watch Frasier when we go to sleep after things have gone on?
The volume needs to be below 8, but above 6.
I think you bring
my snoring.
You bring it up between the appetizer and the between the amuse-bouche and the appetizer. And it's natural conversation for a first date. And no one's offended. Nobody thinks you're being too forward when you bring up something like that.
Why are you leaving? Wait, I thought you'd go to the bathroom. Like, that's the exit.
What did I say? Did I say something? I'm just narrowing things. Oh, yeah. I did say a lot of inappropriate things on that date, but that was not one of them. It was more so inappropriate jokes that were just, I won't get into them, but she laughed and she kind of cracked some back too. And I knew, okay, I think we'll be okay.
There's something here.
Yeah, exactly. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter says, the following two instances occurred about a month ago, only a couple weeks apart. I had many stories like these to tell, but wanted to share my most recent ones. Every time something unusual happens, my boyfriend is never around, and it happens when I'm alone. He's a huge skeptic and always thinks there is a logical explanation. I believe otherwise. I've always had an interest in the paranormal and hearing others' experiences, but I can't honestly say I enjoy it when it happens to me. I should note that I'm very much a light sleeper and have a history of insomnia. Around the time these two incidents happened, I was very stressed with multiple exams coming up. First incident occurred when I was sleeping. I always sleep with a fan on, no matter what time of the year it is, but I suddenly woke up in a sweat because I could no longer feel the air from the fan hitting me. My first thought was the power went out, but I quickly realized it hadn't. The fan was still on, full blast, but somehow no air was flowing towards me. The fan is a standard box fan, not the oscillating kind. It was as if someone or something was standing in front of it, blocking the air. I sit up and strain my eyes in the dark, trying to focus towards that corner of the room. I could barely make out what it was, but it seemed to be a dark shadow. I got so scared and I pulled the blankets up to my chin, not caring that I'm already pouring in sweat. I shut my eyes tight, trying to convince myself I didn't see anything. A moment passes when I feel my stomach ease up a little, thinking whatever it was, it's gone. That's when the blankets ripped right off me. I reached over, turned the light on, and ran out of my room to get my dog. She's a pretty stout dog, and I couldn't just pick her up. I was trying to get her to come back into the room with me because I didn't want to be alone. She was growling and refused to go in that room, which scared me even more because she's normally a sweet dog who always wants to sleep on her bed. Eventually, I managed to get her to go with me in the room. I barely slept the rest of that night. I was truly terrified. The next incident happened about 2 weeks later. I'd just come home from a long day of class and had a headache that I thought a nap could remedy. My boyfriend had started doing small repairs around the house, so at the time I was trying to nap, he was pressure washing the outside of the house. My dog was napping next to me, and I finally drifted off into sleep. I wasn't asleep very long because I heard my boyfriend stomping around on the roof. My dog and I both stared up at the ceiling, following the heavy stomps, and suddenly I heard a loud boom, as if he'd fallen. I shot out of bed, ran to the house to help him. I circled our very small house, trying to see the top of the roof, but nobody was there. My heart was pounding, and I thought I was about to experience a heart attack. I ran into the house, called my boyfriend, and asked where he was, and he said he had left to pick up dinner about 20 minutes ago. I started yelling on the phone that I heard someone on the roof, and quite possibly someone was in our attic, because it startled me awake. When he got home, he climbed up into our attic and said nothing was up there. I felt like I was losing my mind. Of course, it happened when he wasn't there to witness it. Maybe I was so stressed my mind had blown a fuse, but if it weren't for the fact that my dog sensed it too, I would have believed it myself. Sorry this is so long, but I hope you enjoyed the story. Thank you for taking the time to read it. If anything else should happen soon, I will be glad to share it. Well, I'll say this about the second part of the story, and I agree. Had the dog not seemed to have reacted as well, there is a thing called exploding head syndrome. Have we talked about this? Did I talk about you, or did I talk about it with Carol?
I think there was Carol.
Okay. Have you heard of exploding head syndrome?
No.
Your head does not literally explode, but it is a thing.
I hope I don't catch this.
Yeah, it sucks. It's kind of like the scurvy, but you got to look out. If you eat enough carrots, you should be good.
Fresh.
They have to be fresh. They can't be cooked or canned. I had it happen to me a couple times, and what it is you're in a state of almost dreaming and almost awake. It's not sleep paralysis. It's where suddenly you hear something that's not really there. Quite often it's a loud bang or startling boom of some sort, and you wake up and you think, oh my God, what the hell was that? Was that a door? Was that, in this case, something in my attic? And there was really no noise there. This was in the dream state that you were just about to get into, and it was, in fact, all in your head. I've had it happen several times, and usually in times of a lot of stress is when it's happened to me. Now, my pets have not ever been like, oh shit, I heard it too. That would be a little more freaky, like it was in this case, but it is a thing.
Holy fuck, Sean, did you hear that too? Good Lord, I didn't know my dog swore.
Yeah, it would be amazing. It suddenly, when the pets curse, then you really know shit's going down.
I think that is absolutely, well, clearly it's not a debate if it's a thing or not. It is a thing. But having not talked about it, you talk about it with Carol, that absolutely situations have come up, but that has happened to me. And I would concur that usually it's when you're a little stressed or a lot.
Yeah. There you go. It happens, but I don't know. I think there might have been more to it in that situation. Let's go to a caller and hear a story. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name's Marcella. I have a story. It's actually my first time listening to your guys' podcast, so I'm not too sure if this is going to make the cut. But I've had a couple experiences while at my house. At my mother's house, I don't live there anymore, so I don't know if she's experienced anything since I've been gone, but anyways, the first time I experienced something was when I was around, I want to say maybe 10 or 11 years old. At the time, my sister was living at the house, and so was my brother. We actually had bunk beds. My sister and I shared the top bunk while my brother had the bottom bunk. Anyways, one day in the middle of the night, let's just say 3 o'clock, just for the heck of it, why not? 3 a.m., I wake up and I just have... just really, really thirsty, very, very parched. So usually I can just go back to sleep, override the feeling, but for some reason I just really wanted to get up, go get that drink of water, so I did. I go down my stairs from the top bunk, and how my apartment was set up, you're able to look straight down into the hallway once you open the door from my room, and you'll just see the room to my mother's room, the door to my mother's room, and then you will also see the door to the bathroom. And right off to the left is the living room. But there's a wall right there, so you can't see beyond that wall, so you're not able to look inside the living room while looking straight down from my bedroom door. So just going on like a normal night, just going to go get something to drink. I walk down the hallway, I make my left, and I stop because I see just, to me, what it looked like was it looked like a girl dressed in all white. It was just like a long, honestly, it looked like a long white t-shirt, not a dress or anything like that. And it looked like she was praying. She had long, dark hair, and she was just perched up on the TV stand, her hands, prayer formation, and just long, dark hair, and I kind of just stood, was a little bit frozen, honestly. I was a little shocked because I was couldn't really believe what I was seeing, and her head slowly starts to turn, and I get just a bad feeling. It's not like like I was going to see a nice face when she turned. All I know is that I just did not want to see what was going to happen as soon as she turned around. So as she's turning her head very slowly, I back up until I hit the wall. And once I finally hit that wall, it kind of just shocked me. And I went out of shock, actually. Sorry. Went out of shock and made it back to my room, and I woke up my sister. I didn't want to tell her what I saw. I kind of wanted to see if she was going to see it as well. So I just woke her up, asked her if she can get me a glass of water, and she agreed. So she climbs down the bunk bed, and as she's climbing down the bunk bed, I decide that now I have the courage to see what that face looks like if she's still there. So I go, and of course, she wasn't there anymore. My sister gets up, she goes into the kitchen, grabs me my glass of water, and that was the end of that. Then it goes on maybe a next year or maybe another year after, 2 years. I was cleaning my room, and we don't have any younger kids at the time anyway. There wasn't anybody. My mother was babysitting or any nieces or nephews that were pretty young. But I was cleaning my closet, and as I was cleaning my closet, I saw a handprint of a child, and it was clear as day, just a handprint on the wall, and I got very confused. I'm like, what the heck? How did this get here? I've cleaned my closet multiple times. I've, been in and out of here grabbing clothes and sweaters and anything that I need to get from this area, and I've never seen a handprint. And I got a little freaked out. I told my sister. My sister comes into the room. She takes a look at it, and I think she was trying to protect me. I was still kind of young when this was going on, so she probably didn't want me to get scared. But she said that she'd seen that handprint there before, but on the look of her face when I showed her that handprint, it looked like it was the first time that she had seen it as well. So it was just a weird situation. So, I mean, I didn't want to look at that handprint any longer than I had to. So I decided to get some cleaning product, spray it down, and I started rubbing it. And a majority of it came off, but the whole thing would not go away. And it still there. If I were to go back to my mom's house into that same closet, I could definitely point out where the handprint is. It's not as dark as it was because, again, I did try to clean it off, but it didn't completely come off. Now, another experience was right before I moved out, actually, and I was on the phone with my boyfriend at the time, and he himself didn't believe in ghosts or anything like that, and supernatural. He was very, everything had a reason for why things happened type of deal. And I was on the phone with him, talking about who knows what, and I was sitting on my couch, and on the couch that I was sitting at, closest to the window, you're able to see into the hallway of the, of just the area where all the bedrooms are. And right from there, you can see the bathroom door. If it's open, then you can see right into the bathroom. I was sitting at an angle to where I couldn't see completely inside of the bathroom, but I did see just, the door and the mirror that's just right there. So I'm on the phone with my boyfriend, and we were just talking, and then all of a sudden, I was home alone, by the way, all of a sudden, I just see a dark shadow kind of crossing over into the bathroom, and I was on the phone, so I felt pretty brave, and I'm like, okay, that was weird, and he was like, what? And I said, no, nothing, because I knew he wasn't going to believe me. So I start walking towards that hallway, and then I just get this feeling of just complete dread. And I became honestly scared, and I didn't know what to do. And I just immediately started bawling, just crying my eyes out. And he can hear me on the other end, and now he's freaking out. He's like, Marcella, what's going on? What's going on? So I'm just slowly, not even slowly at this point, because again, I honestly felt threatened. So I just walked out, and I actually didn't. I'm sorry. I ran out of the house, and I was just outside of my apartment just crying. And when I finally calmed down, I'm like, okay, you're not going to believe me, but I swear, I saw something. I saw something walk into my bathroom, and as I was walking up to go see what the hell happened, I couldn't. I froze. I was scared, and I started crying because I felt like something was going to hurt me. And he was saying, he's like, okay, I'm not saying that I don't believe you, but are you sure that this is all? He's like, you didn't see anything but a shadow, and that's it. All I saw was a shadow walk into the room, and I felt like it wanted to harm me. Now, I don't know if this all connects, but I kind of have a feeling it does, but I am a victim of sleep paralysis. Now, since I've moved out of the house, I couldn't say that I have experienced it, but not as much as I did when I lived in the house. And every time, I mean, thank God I didn't see anything while in sleep paralysis, but I did feel a presence. I did feel something in my room or something trying to come after me. Now, just how I sleep, I always sleep on my side, and I tend to fall asleep with my back towards the door. Now, every time I do get sleep paralysis, I would feel something trying to come through my door, but of course I couldn't see because I wasn't facing that way. My dad himself was a victim of sleep paralysis, and recently I had watched a documentary, and it's just crazy because sleep paralysis, I mean, a lot of people experience it, but yet we all see the same thing. And, I mean, some people may see more than others, or some people may feel a different presence than others, but originally from what I felt, it's just something dark and something scary coming into my room. But, yeah, that was my experience or experiences. Sleep paralysis is definitely a scary thing, and I feel like that itself is just a whole other conversation. But that's my story.
All right. Thoughts on the sleep paralysis there?
Wow. I was trying to analyze story number one, and then next thing you know, it was on to example number seven. She has gone through quite a bit. I mean, I would chalk it up to her self-assessment that it is a real thing and that she, from what I gather, has made sense of all of these based upon the sleep paralysis and not looking at each unique situation as a visitor or multiple visitors from the afterlife.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's good to have some perspective there because I think a lot of times once you have something that maybe is connected there, you think every time it is, but to be able to kind of identify each one, you know, as, you know, the real thing or not is important. It's I'm trying to think of an analogy to like something where it's like, well, is this really Doritos or is this the Wowritos that are the generic brand from the Century Foods?
Astro will get you.
Yeah. And it's like it's not quite the same, but it'll do. It's being able to identify the differences there. 855-853-4802 is our number. One more call before we wrap it up for today. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Leah. I'm from Columbus, Ohio. I actually just called in a few minutes ago for another story, but I figured I'll go ahead and tell this extra one. I am 29 years old, and again, Columbus, Ohio. A couple years ago, my family and extended family went to Michigan for Thanksgiving, and it was actually the Friday after Thanksgiving, which was on Thursday, of course. And we always go to Friday Thanksgiving at my aunt's house, and they live on Groseal Island in Michigan. Well, because the family is getting larger, usually we stay at my aunt's house, but this time we stayed at this inn, which is on the island. This is a 9 by 3 mile island, so very small, but we stayed in an very, very old place. In my previous call, I had talked about how I don't think I'm as sensitive, but this is an experience that a whole group of us had. So we're at this inn, we're staying there for the weekend, and we were at our aunt's for the meal, and then we went back to the inn late at night, and a few of us decided to play cards. Me and my sisters, we're all in our, you know, upper 20s, early 30s. Their kids were put down to sleep upstairs. This inn probably has maybe four or five large bedrooms in the upstairs area, but that's it. The downstairs, there's a large table, really old place. So we're sitting there playing cards. Euchre is a big card game in the Midwest. We were playing that game, and pretty much for the whole evening, we just thought somebody in the fourth room, because we were occupying three rooms, so there was somebody in the fourth room. We didn't know who they were, and we just heard all this running. It was like running back and forth, and it was getting really loud, and who is up there and who is this person? And they kept checking on my nephews. So a baby and a toddler at the time, and they were fast asleep. And so we checked on them several times, nothing. They're upstairs. You can hear us coming up and down the stairs, but we'd get back to playing cards and we would just hear running back and forth. I'm like, what the heck? So finally the inn owner, comes in to check and says, are you guys in for the night? We're like, yeah. And they said they left a number for us if we need anything. And we said, who's in that fourth room? And they're like, oh, it's my niece. But she's not in right now. We're like, oh, okay. Who? That's great. And we didn't ask about the running, but we all just looked at each other and we're like, not normal. Someone's clearly running back and forth. And my nephew, I think he was maybe about 3 or 4 at the time. He was in like his pack and play. He couldn't get out of that thing. And again, we kept checking and he was sleeping. We stayed there a second creepy at night. Somehow, I mean, we all managed to sleep, but we all pretty much agreed that something was running back and forth upstairs and they were not being quiet about it. And, we ran into the niece once and it didn't even seem like she was really there. She would come in late at night and then pretty much go straight to sleep because she was right next door to us. And I was like, don't think she's running. So shorter story, but, probably the only experience I've had where a whole group of us are like, nah, that's strange. And it got to the point where it kind of kept us up at night in the inn, but we were happy for Sunday to come so we could, you know, leave. But that's all there is to that. So, again, love listening to your show. I've only been listening for about a week and a half, but I love it so far. I've been listening every day. And I hope to become an EPP member. Have a good night. Bye.
I was waiting for the part of like, oh, it's my niece. She's in there. She died 3 years ago or something of that nature.
71. She's been there ever since.
And yeah, so she's still there. It's like a Norman Bates type thing. That would be very disturbing when you got your kids up in another room and they're not the ones that are running and there's something making the noise. I don't know. I think I'd be like, hey, why don't you guys come down here with us until we all go to bed, or just quit the game and be like, I'm going to go up. This is bugging me too much. I'd really be afraid there's someone up there hiding or something. And I don't know, the ghost would even be going through my mind.
And also, they never told the inn owner about it, so I would be scared for my niece upon her returning. Was she coming back later that night, or for her to then find out what that was, or to open up that fourth room and to find out?
I think that there'd be an interesting conversation and some interesting things that have been learned had they expressed that to the innkeeper.
I also look at the availability of the Holiday Inn Express down the road.
Exactly. I think it'd be the next thing I would be doing as I'm walking up the stairs. I'd have TripAdvisor open, like, okay, we're on our way up. Start packing. It's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com. It's $5 a month. You get access to all of the EPP bonus episodes, advanced content, and so much more. And you get the warm, fuzzy feeling of knowing you're keeping our show on the air. Ghostpodcast.com. Sign up and enjoy getting freaked out year-round and all those great episodes at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.